please have opened Judges chapter 16. We come to Judges chapter 16. We are continuing with our series of studies on the book of Judges, and we come to this message, Triumph in Tragedy. We know what is a tragedy. Tragedy involves loss, it involves defeat, it involves dishonor. And we know what is triumph. Triumph is the opposite. Triumph has to do with gain. Triumph has to do with victory. Triumph has to do with honor. Now in the case of Samson, we come to see in him a man whom God had raised up for the hour when the Philistines rule over the nation of Israel. And the hour seemed cut out for this man. And this man seemed cut out for the hour. Just like what Spurgeon put it, God has his man for the hour and the hour for the man. Samson ruled or judged over Israel for 20 years by keeping the Philistines at bay rather than subduing them. Samson's ministry was very much as a loner. He did not have the help of the people of Israel in fighting the Philistines, and single-handedly he caused fear to come into the hearts of the Philistines so that they were prevented from being too bold in bullying the people of Israel. The Philistines continued to rule over the nation of Israel until Saul came to power as king, and Samuel became the judge and the prophet. Now we see in Samson a man used by God to strike fear in the Philistines. At the same time, he gave hope to the nation of Israel. But Samson, on the personal level, had a besetting sin which brought his downfall. God, however, turned his tragedy into triumph. And we are going to consider his tragedy which brought his death. And at the same time, we are going to see God sovereignly using that tragedy to bring about triumph. And from this message, we are going to learn of the danger of besetting sins. Beware of personal sins which dishonor God, but which cannot ever frustrate his purpose. So we are going to divide the message into two sections. We are first going to consider the tragedy, verse 1 to verse 20, and then we are going to consider the triumph, which is verse 21 to verse 31. Now, wherein lies the tragedy in Samson and his ministry? In what way do we find Samson's life and ministry a tragedy? The tragedy, first of all, was in his uncontrolled passion. In verse 1 to verse 3, we read of Samson falling for a harlot. It wasn't a beautiful woman like the one in Timnah whom he fell in love with at the beginning of his ministry. We are now talking about 20 years later. Now, in his early life, he had already shown a particular weakness in this area. He had a weakness for women. He had this inability to control his sexual passion. And he fell in love easily and was swayed by emotion and lust. Now, this was Samson's weakness. He appeared to have been struggling all this while, but he did not seem to have succeeded in his personal battle against this particular sin in his life. And now, 20 years after being the Church of Israel, this extremely powerful man was going to be reduced to a crumb of bread. Now we know that he was extremely powerful. He was physically powerful. Remember how in his early life he just tore a lion apart with his bare hands. That was how powerful he was. And single-handedly he killed so many of the Philistines who were armed. He somehow managed to escape unharmed each time that he clashed with the Philistines. So he was really a powerful man physically. His power was given to him by God. His power actually laid in his relationship with God. He was actually chosen by God to be the judge of Israel. He was dedicated to God for life as a Nazarite. In Israel, in those days, people could take a period of time off to consecrate themselves to God by abstaining from certain food and spending time in prayer and fasting. So people would be Nazarites for a period of time. But for the case of Samson, it was for life. God had a purpose for him. God was going to use him to be the judge over the nation of Israel for that 20 years. And throughout his time as judge, God showed his favor upon him. God was present with him and would have continued to be with him and bless him if he had not sinned against God. But we are going to see how he sinned against God. He fell into his besetting sin. And remember, the years have flown by. 20 good years have gone by. The Philistines have been kept at bay. The Philistines were always careful as they went around trying to rule over the nation of Israel. They knew that Samson was lurking around. People would be reporting to Samson and Samson would appear at the most unexpected moment. They were so fearful of Samson. They disliked him. They hated him. They wanted him killed, but they have not been able to do so. So such was their view of Samson. And Samson certainly gave hope to Israel. In that dark period under Philistine rule, at the name of Samson, their hearts lifted up. You could imagine how Samson was a hero to them. Imagine from old to young, the people had this to lift up their hearts at the name of Samson. You could imagine their smile appearing on their faces and how their hearts were lightened somewhat in that dark period. So Samson had been greatly used by God. But tragedy struck this champion of Israel because he gave way to his passion. Now what happened was that he came to the southwest of Israel into Philistine territory. Remember, the Philistines ruled over Israel, and so he was able to go to this place called Gaza. And there he saw a harlot of all people. Why should he go to a harlot? He went to this harlot, see, and slept with her. And the Philistines knew of his presence in Gaza, and they knew that he had entered the lion's den. So they thought that it was a good opportunity to surround him and to finish him off once for all. So they did not want to rush things, knowing that Samson was a very powerful man. So they would let Samson be relaxed, let him enjoy himself, let him lose his guard, while we wait outside at the gate. The next morning, when he comes out, see, we would kill him. So that was their plan. But somehow Samson was awakened to the realization of his danger. And in all likelihood, he came to the realization that he was sinning against God. And that caused him to be aware of where he was and the danger he was in. And we read there that in verse 3, Samson lay low till midnight, which means that quite early in the night, he already came to the awareness that he had sinned against God by going to this harlot. And he began to look around and he realized that he was in danger. So he waited till midnight. See, apparently wanting the cover of darkness, and he being alone, darkness would be to his advantage. Imagine in the dark, see, a group of enemies around you, see. Now you are actually at the advantage because anyone you strike out will be an enemy. Whereas the enemies will have difficulty because anyone they strike out will be more likely their own friends. Okay? So Samson obviously wanted to take advantage of the darkness. And when darkness came, see, he just went out, and instead of Samson being taken off guard the next morning, the Philistine men were taken off guard during midnight. So while they were not ready, while they were preparing for a few hours of sleep, here came Samson, and he came, and he found that the city gate was locked. But not locked, there was no problem to Samson, see? Was he going to just jump over the gate like Jackie Chan? No, this man was no Jackie Chan. He was Samson, the man empowered by God. Just went there, put his shoulders, his arms, and anchored himself, just gave a few shakes and lifted up the gate and the door, the gatepost, you see. And just to emphasize the point that he was not afraid, he was powerful, God was on his side, he just lifted the whole gate upon his shoulders, you see. And you can imagine the Philistines all cowering in fear in the dark as they saw what was happening. This Samson just walked away with the gates and the gateposts. And he walked a total of 38 miles, imagine. And he had to climb up the hill and then up there, you know, and he looked down, you see, there in triumph, you see. And he cast that away. So what was his triumph was in reality a tragedy. What was triumphed outwardly by a display of his strength and his power over the Philistines was a tragedy in that to him personally he had failed God. He had sinned against God by going to this harlot. So he gave way to his passion. So that is the first point. The tragedy was in his uncontrolled passion, and learned that things do not often appear according to the assessment of man. We say, do not judge a book by the cover, do not judge a man by his looks. And we learn also to see things the way God sees things. Outwardly, Samson appeared to be so powerful. Film shows have been produced about Samson glorifying his physical power, and certainly all who see such shows will be stricken by the drama of the whole situation, young boys especially, and perhaps many young girls as well. You see this powerful man lifting this gate up, you see, and just causing terror to come upon his enemies. But wait a moment, see this as a tragedy, not a triumph on the part of Samson. He had given way to sin, he had given way to his passion. He must have been struggling all these years to control his passion, but he gave in and went in to, of all people, a harlot. Oh friend, you see how low this man has fallen, you see. This was a tragedy. The tragedy truly was in his uncontrolled passion. And this is where we must assess things in the right way. Don't look at things externally. Look at things internally and look at things spiritually. Look at things from the perspective of God's Word, and you will have a right assessment. This was a tragedy. It was a tragedy because Samson has given in to his passion. Then, secondly, the tragedy was in his loss of watchfulness. verse 4 to verse 17. Now, not long after, he went to the valley of Sorek, again Philistine territory, and he saw this woman Delilah, and he fell in love with Delilah. And this was not just a mere fling giving way to his passion, but he actually fell in love with her, and he visited her daily. If you look at verse 16, it says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words, pressed him so that his soul was fixed to death. So it shows here that Samson had been visiting this woman daily. And of course it became known to the Philistine lords. And we know from other parts of the Old Testament that there were 5 lords of the Philistines. So it was just not just one, it was not just two, there was 5 lords of the Philistines. They all wanted Samson dead. And these 5 lords therefore came to Delilah and offered to her money. Each of them was prepared to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. Now one piece of silver was already very good. Each of them was prepared to not give 1,100 pieces of silver. Too heavy for even one man to carry, you see. So each lord was going to give to her that much money. And there were 5 of them all together. They were going to give each of them was going to give her that amount of money in exchange for Delilah enticing Samson and drawing out from him the secret of his strength and how Samson may be overcome. See? And so the tragedy unfolds. What happened is that this Delilah played the game. In verse 6 she said, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. See? Now that question in itself should have alerted Samson, but he was blind to whatever warning sign there was, see, because of his love for Delilah. Okay? Now for one thing, Samson was in Philistine territory. For another, Delilah was a Philistine. And look at the question. Why of all things focus on how Samson could be weakened? See? How he could be bound and be afflicted? See? Why? Of all things you ask this? See? So Samson should have been alerted, but he was simply blind out of love at this time. So Samson split the game. Samson told her that if they, the Philistines, you note, he was aware that the Philistines would love to see him bound and weakened. So if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now there was the bow made up of a powerful, flexible piece of wood, and then there is the bowstring. You have a leather strap of some kind tied over, see. So fresh bowstring, see. If they can bind me with fresh bowstring, then I will be weak, I will not be able to defend myself. And so that was what Delilah told the Philistine lords. And it did not occur to Samson how did Delilah manage so quickly to get just the right type of bowstring, see. This is a lady whom he was madly in love with, and again he was blind to all the warning signs. Delilah came with these bowstrings and had him tied up, see, tied up. And you can imagine if there are fresh leather strips, you see, as the leather dries up, you see, it will shrink, and then Delilah with her feminine strength will not tight him. You think that it would be not tight, but remember, as the bowstring dried up, it will be tightened, see. And so Delilah then shouted, the Philistines are here, Samson! And amazingly, Samson just snapped the bowstring. Now it was nothing to him, see. So the game continued, you see. And you see the protest of Delilah, you see. Delilah said to Samson, verse 10, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. See, you see this. Delilah playing with Samson, playing him around her fingers, while Samson was madly in love and was fooling around like a small child. And after telling her that he could be weakened and bound by bowstrings, he proceeded a step further. He said, if they tie me with new ropes that have not been used, you see, then I may be weakened, you see. And you note the progression in the thought. First, a bowstring to tie a person, so you think of something. Why didn't Samson straightway say, bring some ropes, if they tie me with new ropes? But he began with something that a man like him would be using, namely a bow and arrow for hunting, you see. So it appears somewhat unconnected with the secret of his strength. Then the next thing was to think of what next. After the odd suggestion of bowstring, then he came to the more common use of ropes. So use new ropes upon me, then I will not be able to defend myself. But the same thing happened when Delilah shouted, the Philistines are upon you. See, Samson again slapped the ropes. They were nothing to him. See. Then it moved on a step closer to the secret of his power. When Delilah pressed him, he said, if my seven locks of hair, you see, his hair was tied up into seven locks, if my seven locks of hair could be weaved into the loom, then I would be weakened. And you see how dangerously close Samson was getting to revealing the secret of his power, you see, from the bowstring that a man like him would be using, you see, to hunt animals, the bow and the arrow for hunt animals. Then he proceeded to the normal string. Then normal string, then it comes to his head. Hey, hey, Samson, wake up! We can't help feeling anxious for this Samson. And all three times Delilah was shouting, the Philistines are here to attack you. You see, hey, Samson, you are in enemy territory, and here this woman whom you love, she obviously is in league with these Philistines. Well, why call upon the Philistines, you see, to come out? Yeah. To why refer to the Philistines? So Samson should have awakened, but this man, you know, this powerful, strong man who had been greatly used by God for the past 20 years, you see, he was so weak now. He was weakened by his blind love for this Delilah. And again, when Delilah shouted, the Philistines are here, Samson just woke up, and you think that this time, at least the loom will hold back his hair. But no, loom or no loom, he just tore the loom apart, and he was ready to fight the Philistines. And this time, you see, Delilah put pressure upon her. She played emotional. In verse 15, and she said, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. You see, imagine that Samson must be wondering what to do, you know, and he's blindly in love with this woman, and this woman is so emotional, you see. And you thought that if Samson could bear up with him one day and go home and sleep over and come the next day when she sees her, at least a woman will come down. But no, the woman was not going to let that go. And you thought that her agitation would be reduced. It appeared that she put on a show of being more agitated. In verse 16, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Oh dear. A strong man like Samson being so weak at this point, he was vexed to death, you see. Now what are you going to do? What am I going to do in such a situation? He could have easily broken off, gone away, cleared his mind, awakened to the realization that he was actually in danger of his life. But this man, no, he was just at a loss what to do, you see. Now, which man among us here is madly in love like that? Beware, you know. know, is that type of love worth having? Having this woman like this vexing you. Vexing you to death, you see. And what happened is, Samson gave in. Ah, Samson, the strong man. You have held up so long. You have held up. We've been following you in the whole game. And we thought you would make a breakthrough. Your mind would suddenly clear. You will get away and be safe. But Samson, how you disappoint us. He gave in to Delilah and told her his heart. He said to her, "No razor have ever come upon my head, for I've been born a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Now, who do you think Delilah was? Is a country girl who just knew how to play games? No, my friend, she was only playing at the game. She was actually smarter than Samson had realized. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, see, she called for the Philistine lords. See? She knew that Samson had told her the truth this time. Okay? So Samson succumbed. And I would like you to refer to a couple of passages in the book of Proverbs, if you can turn to the book of Proverbs and see what the scripture says with regard to situations like this. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. After the book of Psalms, Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 25. Okay. We begin reading from verse 24, you see. Verse 25, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart." This is the seductress. Eh? "Nor let her allure you with her eyelids." Very graphic description, isn't it, of the seductress. "But by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." Now you give in to sexual passion, you will be reduced to a crumb of bread. And look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And look at verse 14 of Proverbs 22. "The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there." See? When you turn away from the Lord, the Lord will let you wallow in your sin. See? And when you fall, it is like falling into a bottomless pit. You fall and you go deeper. It is like being sucked in like quicksand. Eh? Hey, is there any man here who has been tempted in this direction? And even women, is there any women, any woman here who has been tempted in this direction? Let the word of God speak to you. We do not want tragedy to strike. And the tragedy of Samson is that he was not watchful. We are constantly warned against temptation. Temptation in and of itself is not yet sin. But when we are drawn away by the temptation and then we succumb to it, then we have sin. Okay? The Lord wants us to watch and pray. And here, Samson had not been watchful, and that was his tragedy. So the tragedy was in his uncontrolled passion the first time, and the tragedy was that he fell in love and was not watchful with regard to Delilah. And then, thirdly, The tragedy was in his turning away from God. Verse 18. You see, Delilah knew that Samson had told her the truth. So she now became serious. She started to do what was needful. That was what she was waiting for all this while. She was waiting for this occasion when she could get the money from the five lots, when she could sell Samson for that money. So she lulled this Samson to sleep on her laps. Just imagine Samson already reduced, this powerful man, this hefty, powerful man, reduced to a crumb of bread. Now here he was manja, being put to sleep by Delilah and fell asleep on her knees. Just imagine that. See? And there was Delilah with a barber, with a man all ready, with his scissors. Come. See? And that man came out and then snipped one lock of hair off. Snipped the next lock of hair. Snipped the next lock of hair. And in all probably taking out his razor. And while Delilah soothed Samson, while Samson turned here, turned there, you know, probably feeling something, sit here, something snapped there. But here was Delilah lulling him to sleep, and here was the barber shaving off his hair. Okay, imagine that happening to this otherwise powerful man, you see. Delilah, soul of Samson. Samson was placing himself totally in the hand of Delilah. He was pressured, yes, pressured, but there was no excuse. He was vexed to death, as we have read, you see, there was no excuse. He gave in to the pressure and told Delilah everything. You remember how the king Hezekiah, in later days, there was this good king, this otherwise good king, powerful king, you see. The Babylonians sent envoys to him. And he just trusted these people and shook them around, shook everything. And Isaiah came and confronted Hezekiah. What have you done? Hezekiah said, I shook them everything, all that we had. Now for what good reason, Hezekiah? For what good reason? You showed these strangers everything. See? Now, perhaps Hezekiah would say, oh, they were ambassadors from that mighty kingdom of Babylon. See? But that was not good enough reason. Oh, they were asking innocent questions. But that was not good enough reason. Oh, they wanted to know our glory. They have been so impressed with the glory of the kingdom. And that was not good enough reason. No reason to boast. There was no reason to parade your wealth to the people. And they wanted to see also our might. So we want to send an indirect message to the Babylonians that we are powerful. You see? So that's why I open up the artillery and all the armory to them. You see? And Isaiah said, this is foolish. This is not right. You reveal your strength to the people, and in the process you are revealing your weakness, you see. So Hezekiah did foolishly by revealing everything to these ambassadors from Babylon. He failed to see that a clear line needed to be drawn between the pagans and the people of God, those who worshipped idols and those who worshipped Jehovah. He failed to seek the will of God before he acted, and he just allowed him his pride and his vain glory. He just gave in for the moment to allow these people to come and see everything. Now in each one of us, there is a besetting sin somewhere. There is a weakness in many people, both men and women. Yes, women included. Sexual passion is a weakness. It is a weakness. And if it is not in the area of sex, it is somewhere else, such as greed for money, for greed, for power, for vain glory, you know, our desire to be paraded, to be thought well of by others, you see. And you know your particular weakness. Even after conversion, after the Holy Spirit begins His sanctifying work in you, you know that you have been struggling in that particular area of weakness. Now be careful, my friends. Be careful. Remember Samson. Remember Samson. When your conscience is stirred with regard to temptation in that area, remember Samson. The tragedy was that he trusted himself to Delilah, which meant that he was trusting in a pagan who was the enemy of God's people. See? And when he gave all the secret with connection with in relation to his relationship with God, even he revealed all this to this pagan woman, he was selling himself to her. He was like turning away from God. Okay? That was what it amounted to. When Esau pleaded with Jacob, "Give me the red bean soup," that was what it meant, you know. When you know what the lentil soup was, the lentil broth, then you know, hey, you know, Esau, of all things, you sell your birthright for that, you know. We say, "Chit waleng ang tao thung," you know. You just one bowl of red bean soup, you sell away your birthright, you see. But I was so hungry at that time, you see. But he looked upon the birthright as so cheap, you see. He was prepared to sell away by having that red bean soup to satisfy his desire for the moment. Just for that moment, you give up something forever. And Samson surrendered himself totally to Delilah and revealed the secret of his relationship with God, which means that you have betrayed God, you have turned away from God, you are giving yourself to a pagan woman. You see? You see what it meant? Then no wonder we read there towards the end of verse 20. See? The last sentence of the end of verse 20, "But he did not know that Jehovah had departed from him." But that was because he had departed from Jehovah. When you turn away from God, God will turn away from you. And he reminds us of how the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. Remember King Saul? He was used powerfully by God, but the Spirit of God left him. See, he reminds us of Judas, you know, when the devil entered him. See, but of course, we want to note the difference. Samson was a true child of God. This was the lapse, but nevertheless, we can't help being reminded of how God left this man, Saul and Judas, and how the devil began to do its worst. And here, just think, you know, a child of God, you know, turning away from his God, and so God turned away from him. See? It's like what we are told in the book of Romans, how none of us is righteous. Each one of us have gone our own way. And how God leaves us to wallow in our sins. See, the little knowledge that we have from God should have been improved upon, and we should have acted upon that. You see, it was sufficient to lead us to a better knowledge of God, but we don't. We give ourselves to our own lust. And in Romans chapter 1 verse 24, we read, "Therefore God also gives them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." God gives them up. You see, so Samson turned away from God. That's why God turned away from him. God left him. It's a tragedy. It's really a tragedy. So wherein lies the tragedy? First, in his uncontrolled passion. Secondly, in his loss of watchfulness. and certainly in his turning away from God. Samson. Oh, Samson. Samson, you have fallen. You have fallen very low. Then we consider the triumph, verse 21 to verse 31. Now, wherein lies the triumph? The triumph was of God, of course. Samson could do nothing. So the first area of triumph was that God was present with the weak and the lonely. The triumph was his in God's presence with the weak and lonely. Coming back to Samson, verse 21. See, sin blinds and sin grinds. This literally happened to Samson. See, the Philistines found him weak. Samson thought that as usual he could come easily and fight off all these Philistines. But he found that he didn't have the strength that he had before. The strength had departed from him. And worse still, he realized that God had departed from him. And this man had always been a loner, remember? We can't help going out to this man. See? Yes, he was judge over Israel. By God's mercy, God's grace, he was given to rule over these people. People come to him for advice. People came to him for encouragement, see, for counsel. Samson was used by God. But he was not one who led them into battle. He did most of the battle himself. I remember the time when the people of Judah came to arrest him and they were prepared to hand him over to the Philistines. Just imagine your own people willing to take you and give you away to your enemies. Hey, you know, this was Samson. He must have been a very lonely situation to be in. We can't help feeling for Samson. How he finally fought these Philistines with just a jawbone, and he killed so many of them. And as he threw away that jawbone, he was dying. Call out to God. After giving me such a tremendous deliverance, would you allow me to die in thirst? See, our hearts go up out to this man. You see, he seems somewhat a simple man, a man who just didn't think deeply. He was just so rash. He was just like that. He was such a man, you see. And here, falling in love with one woman after another. And was there no better woman in Israel? This was the man, Samson. And see how he was entangled with this woman, Delilah. You see, forgetting that in his earlier years, he was played about round the fingers by the woman of Timnah as well. Remember how she squeezed out the solution to the riddle from him? And here was Delilah playing the same game, and he just fell for her. You see, that was Samson. And at this time, when he was weakened, the Philistines easily took him away. And they did not want him killed straight away. These were cruel people. Extremely cruel people. What they did was to gouge out his eyes. To cause him to become blind. You see, this strong, powerful man was caused to become blind. His eyes were taken out. Okay? Then he was brought to Gaza. See? And there he was. See? Chained together with bronze fetters. And he had to work like an animal. See? Chained, and then he had to grind the grain for the people. See? He really was treated like an animal. A beast of burden, see? Ladies with tender hearts, you see, as you picture the situation, and even men, some of us men have tender hearts as well. We are capable of shedding tears. As we think of this man, Samson, the lonely man, being treated like an animal. And this time, he was in a lonely situation, weak, and lonely, pitiable, this man, this pitiable man, he has descended so low, you see. And when he is at his lowest, that is when he has nowhere else to turn but to look upwards. See? And that was when God's grace began to operate in his life. You see? His hair began to grow. With the growth of his hair, his strength grew. And the strength coming back to him indicates that God was drawing nearer to him. That is what you must see. See? Samson thought himself forsaken even by God. But how can God forsake his own people? It would be easier to ask a father to forget his son, to ask a mother to forget the children. No, not our God. Our God will not leave us nor forsake us. You see? We think he has forsaken us, you see. But the expression to forsake us is only to show his displeasure upon us when we are in sin. But those who belong to him, he will not forsake. And it is only when we are at the lowest that we are able to experience the grace of God operating in our lives. And is that not the case? Otherwise you would be self-righteous and unteachable. But when trials come to you, when you are reduced to nothing, see, then you become ready to listen. And that was what many of us were like. We were not ready to hear the gospel. We were not ready to submit ourselves to the Lord. We were not ready to want to be saved when we were such pitiable people, pitiful people, you see. But God has to humble us, and when we are at our lowest, then we are ready to experience the grace of God in our life. See, we certainly do not want our children to learn the hard and the painful way. We ourselves certainly do not want to learn the hard and painful way. See? There have been times when temptation comes, when you are severely tempted. But think, you see, now what if God chastises you by striking you in your health? Please don't do that to me. Let me not learn the hard way. But you see, we want to risk it. I have been healthy all this while. But wait, what if God strikes you by bringing calamity upon your family members, your wife, your children, friends? You see? That is something else. You see? Yes, many of us love our children and love them dearly. And we express our love wrongly by lavishing on them whatever they want and never disciplining them. And that we have covered a number of times. We want to love our children the right way. You see? But we do know that we love our children. Your precious children. That's why Christian parents are grieved over the fact that their children have gone astray. That's why they are so anxious when their children are not yet true believers. And as they go out of the home, they go for national service, they go for studies, they go for jobs. See, our hearts are with them. Hey, what are they doing now? See, how are they coping? See? And when we hear of trials in their lives, our heart go out to them. We want to go near to them as quickly as possible, even though we know that we are unable to help them in their job problem, but we just want to be present there. You see, is that not the heart of parents? You see? But wait a moment. What we are saying is, if your sin results in your child being stricken in some ways, are you prepared for that? Are you? So every time you are tempted severely to want to sin in a particular way, think of how your sin is going to affect not just yourself, but your loved ones. Okay? That, I believe, will help many of us. It will help many of us. Let us not learn the hard way, the painful way. In the case of Samson, he lost his eyes, he lost his dignity, he lost his love, you see. What sort of love is that, you see? That woman of Delilah. You know, giving your life to a Delilah and now you're being sold. He just was shattered. But it was when he was lowest that God's grace began to operate. And that is a triumph, even though it was so painful to Samson. And secondly, the triumph was in God giving repentance to the helpless. Not only was God present with the weak and lonely, but the triumph was in God giving repentance to the helpless. The grace of God was operating in Samson. His hair was growing, his strength was returning, but his heart was also turning back more and more to his God. And what God has begun, he will bring to completion. See? God wanted to deal a severe blow with the Philistines. The Philistines were a very cruel people. At this time, they were celebrating their victory over Samson and giving glory to their idol, Dagon. And who was Dagon? Dagon was a god with a fish head and a human body. It was the god of the fish god, you see. And Dagon had fallen and been shattered before in the days of Gideon, you see. Remember Gideon? And in the time of Gideon, Dagon just fell, you see. And then his altar was destroyed. But now the Philistines were claiming victory because their god Dagon had delivered Samson into their hands. And they were singing praise to their god. They were actually singing praise and using Samson's name. Look at verse 24. Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land and the one who multiplied our dead. At last, Samson was in their hands. See? So they were idolatrous, a very idolatrous people, and they were also extremely cruel. Look at verse 25. They were making merry, and they said, call for Samson, and they want Samson to perform before them. See? And so, all of them were gathered together in that stadium. And that stadium was such that all the dignitaries and the Philistines were high up, so that they could see down with Samson performing. So that perhaps they asked Samson to perform some feats of strength while he was being fettered, tied down by chains. In case, you see. So Samson probably pitted his strength against wild animals. Samson perhaps did many things to just entertain them. Imagine in his blindness, perhaps having a tug of war with an elephant, you see. Perhaps breaking a lock with his bare hands, you see. Something of that nature, performing. And then Samson told the boy who was leading him, can you bring me to the pillars holding up the platform, you see? And there were about 3,000 men and women and the lots of the Philistines seated on that platform. So there was this platform, you see? And at the front center, there were two pillars close together to hold this platform up. That was the particular Philistine design. So Samson said, bring me to the pillars holding up the platform. So the lad brought him, thinking that he needed a rest or something like that, you see. And then he was going to push these pillars to bring down the whole platform, see. But before we come to that, let us stop a while and consider the cry of Samson, his prayer to God. Look at verse 28. You see? Samson called to Jehovah saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. If you did not feel like shedding tears earlier, when you arrive at this point, you feel like shedding tears for this man. Pitiful. Pitiful. Okay. Right? And here we must see the triumph. This is actually the climax of the story, which happened in the heart of Samson. We see how the platform came crashing down, killing so many of the Philistines, and that is so dramatic, so outward. But wait a moment, haven't we learned not to judge things outwardly? That is not the climax. The climax is at this point, verse 28, when Samson turned to his God and placed his trust totally upon him and pleaded with him, O God, hear me just this one last time. Use me just this one last time. Okay? So there was triumph when God gave repentance to the helpless. It really must be seen as the climax. If we are concerned about the salvation of souls, the restoration of the backslidden, if we are concerned about spiritual things, this was the climax. The triumph was in God giving repentance to the helpless. But then we are not finished. We come to the last point. The triumph was in God vindicating his own name through an unworthy servant. Samson was truly an unworthy servant. Who would dare claim any glory in his position? We would say with the Apostle Paul, see, and perhaps repeat 100 times, 1,000 times over, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, of whom I am chief. Samson would be able to say, I'm such an unworthy servant of God. I don't deserve anything from God. See? And yet God vindicated his own name through this unworthy servant. See? So outwardly, the climax was the killing of the about 3,000 Philistines. But inwardly, the climax, and I believe that truly is the climax of the whole story, was God bringing about repentance to Samson. Okay? But in any case, we come to the external drama of the about 3,000 Philistines who were killed. Now this must not be seen as suicide. Suicide is taking your own life for no good reason other than you just want to end your life. You are depressed, you see no hope, and so on. But in the case of Samson, he wanted the Philistines dead. You see, he wanted vengeance upon himself. He wanted to fight God's enemies. See? And in a war, in a battle, there is always that risk that you will be badly injured and that you may lose your life. And that is the price that we have to pay. And thank God that many of us do not have to fight physical battles on the battlefield. But I told you that in the recent trip to UK, on the last day, it was in the news and in the newspapers, these dead bodies from Afghanistan were being flown back. And I couldn't help feeling it. I said, here were young men in the prime of their lives being sent to a fight in Afghanistan. And here are so many who have laid down their lives for the cause there, you see. And here were in the streets of London so many who lived as though nothing was happening. You see, shouldn't everybody just stop, if you only momentarily for 1 minute, just as a token? You see, but there was no such thing. You see, and thank God that many of us do not have to face battles like that, where we are literally placed at risk for our lives. But what I want to say to you is this. If you want to be used of the Lord, If you really want to serve Him, then you must place yourself at His disposal and be open to risks. See, you can't just withdraw yourself at the slightest sign of difficulty and at the slightest sign of danger. Remember John Mark, how he turned back in a missionary journey? And that was wrong of him. It was right that Paul decided not to take him after that. But thank God John Mark was turned around. He turned out, he developed into a very useful young man in the service of God. And he was useful to Paul in ministry. Thank God that His mercy extended to those who have failed Him in times before. But let us understand that in serving God, we are actually fighting spiritual battles. If we fear dying in a mission field, then remember you will die while sleeping on your comfortable bed at home as well. If the time has come for you to go, you see, and you don't want to die serving God, you will die, you see, in dishonor on your comfortable bed. You see. Now we must see here that Samson was not committing suicide. He was placing himself at God's disposal. He was looking upon the Philistines as the enemy of God's people. And he knew that he was being treated very badly, so cruelly by these people. Oh God, hear me, answer me this last time. And he pushed. And the whole platform collapsed and all these people died. And he killed more in his death than when he was alive. Okay? Now we must remember, this is a sad story, but Samson was buried between Zorah and Estel, verse 31. Now look back at chapter 13, verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahane Dan between Zorah and Estel, which means that was the territory over which Samson had his ministry. God worked mightily through him in that area, and he was honored in that area of ministry. He was buried in his father's tomb. He had judged Israel 20 years. In conclusion, we must look at Hebrews chapter 11, and be reminded that just as King David, a man after God's own heart, was only a man and he failed God, just as Solomon, who was a type of Christ, served God but failed in so many areas, so was this man Samson, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Samson was numbered among all the heroes of faith. So we must understand that overall, Samson was a child of God, mightily used by God. There were lapses in his life through which we learned to be warned of dangers that will weaken us if we are not careful, that will bring us tragedy. But God will always triumph, and we do not want God to be honored through our tragedy. We would like to pray, God, please be merciful to me, use me to your glory, help me to learn quickly, don't be slow to learn, help me to learn without having to go through too much pain and trials. Beware of besetting sins. Beware of relying on yourself and all the gifts God has given you, failing to trust in God. Beware of not trusting in the way by which we are made right with God, namely through Christ and Him crucified. We are able to serve God acceptably only when we are made right with Him. And the only way by which we are made right with Him is through faith in Jesus Christ, who laid down His life on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing." See? So if we want to do something for God in our lifetime without being a tragedy like Samson, we must come to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only in Christ, that we find acceptance, full acceptance before God. And Christ's blood cleanses us of all our sins. All our unrighteousness, all our iniquities are covered by His blood. See? How can we go on in the Christian life with a clear conscience if not for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ? As the years go by, we come to value more our Lord and what He has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. So friends, as we draw to a close, considering the life and ministry of Samson, see, let us turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, if you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, consider Him today. Turn to Him. Give your life to Him. Let Him strengthen you and use Him to His glory. And are there those who have grown cold-hearted, who have backslidden? Turn back. Turn back to God. There is full forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him.